Welcome to another installment of the Flagrant Take. I'm your co-host, Jim. Matthew, where are you at, Fred?
Right here, man. Happy holidays, everybody.
Happy holidays.
Absolutely.
Merry Christmas, man. How's it going?
Merry Christmas to you as well and to everybody out there. Hope everybody had a great one. And if you're like me, you are just in holiday hangover mode, man. I am exhausted today.
Safe to say you were like the Knicks against the Celtics, right?
Yeah, I felt like Carmelo Anthony on that ISO play against Avery Bradley at the end where you just completely lose the ball and it just completely falls apart.
What a poor decision, right?
Doug, listen, the play before when Joakim Noah hit him with the great pass as he cut to the basket was phenomenal.
I know, they look good. Blake Rogers got me. He was tweeting me. He's like, yeah, they look good. And then like a second later, they just collapsed.
Man, I think somebody has to talk to Melo and say, dog, you got to chill with the ISO plays. That's not the strength of our team.
No, I actually don't mind him doing ISO. Just like it's annoying when he does it with Avery Bradley, who's pretty much like a mini Kawhi on the defensive end, you know?
He is by far the best perimeter defender. And exactly. Melo, I guess, decided he was going to take the ball and back him down from the 3-point line all the way to the post. And that was not going to work at all.
I know. On that note, speaking of Avery Bradley, breakout players, he's not on our list of trade discussions that'll occur in February, right?
He is not, man, and this is absolutely going to be the trade edition special. People are going to find over the next couple of weeks there's going to be a little bit of changing of the guard in regards to the format of the show, but, you know, this is that time of year, man. Now that we're past Christmas, you can start really firing up the trade machines and start trying to formulate ideas for how you can improve your team. And so that's what we're going to dive into today, man, and so I'm looking forward to this.
It's exciting. I mean, I'm excited about this. I know you're going to rip me on some of mine. We have five each. I know you're going to rip me on some of mine. I'm going to rip you on some of yours because I think I kind of glimpsed at yours. But you want to tell the people what they want?
Absolutely, man. We'll go ahead and give it to them. And again, man, this is just our beliefs. It's another thing that can start up some dialogue between our listeners.
Friendly, feel free to call us out. Friendly dialogue. Nobody kill us.
Nobody come hard for me, man. I'm not in the mood, but feel free to highlight NYJones7 on Twitter for all of it.
I already got roasted on Twitter, and someone said our podcast sucks, so I have to, like, mute him.
Oh, for real? I haven't even heard that, man. You can't see, but you're in Twitter world, man.
I'm active. I'm an active Twitterer.
Yeah, man, I can't. I just don't have the time, brother. But anyway, we'll go ahead and dive into it, man. And so a name that we've seen in the news since probably training camp, Nerlens Noel. You know, still trying to figure out what's going to be his ultimate move and landing spot. I mean, they played the Lakers a couple Fridays ago, and he was playing 8 minutes in that game as he was coming back off of a knee injury. And obviously he expressed his frustration saying that he wasn't an 8-minute-a-game player. And of course, he is still an extremely talented player. He was drafted 6th overall by the New Orleans Pelicans a couple of years ago. And then was immediately traded to the Philadelphia 76ers, and his career just hasn't quite taken off as many people had anticipated after his 1 year at Kentucky that ended in injury. But I have him, as well as Nick Stauskas, getting traded to Denver for Emmanuel Mudiay. I think ultimately Mudiay's inability to hit the consistent jumper from 17 feet and beyond is going to be his undoing, and with Jamal Murray there, Gary Harris, I think they have their backcourt of the future, and right now Mudiay can still yield you something positive in return. I also like the fact that Nerlens Noel is an actual, 6'9", 6'10" player who can get out there and run the fast break out there in Denver to be out there and fill in the wing spot with Jamal Murray on, transition. And plus, with Kenneth Faried, it's pretty much the writing on the wall. You know he's pretty much on his way out of town, so I think that that would be a beneficial trade for both parties. You have Mudiay then going to Philly, and now you have a backcourt of he and Ben Simmons, which would be interesting to see here for the future, where Ben Simmons can do a lot of the ball handling and Mudiay can do a lot of the slashing. So what are your thoughts on that, man?
Well, I mean, they had Michael Carter-Williams before, and I know he had a lot of turnover issues. And I don't know if they would touch Mudiay yet because he's been so up and down, more down than up. But he's had some great stretches. Like right now, he's on a tear. But I mean, I know early in the season, he was averaging like 6 turnovers a game at one point. And he's shooting like a dismal 30%, even less. It seems reasonable. But you would package Mudiay and Faried for Noel, right?
I don't know if Philly would be taking on Fareed's contract, man. I just don't see the fit there. And plus, Fareed's going to clearly have to come off the bench in Philadelphia, which is something he's been opposed to in Denver. So I don't know how you make that trade knowing that and assume that he wouldn't be a malcontent in the locker room. I think his trade market has completely been eradicated.
Do you want to know where I switched Moody and Fareed to?
Tell me. What's up?
They're heading – I think they're going to head to the Pelicans. And I use the ESPN trade machine in terms of the contracts. They accept the trade and all that stuff. So this kind of worked out. I put Moutier and Fareed, because I think he's still a talented player, even though he's in Mike Malone's doghouse right now, for Tyreek Evans, Dante Cunningham, and Tim Frazier. So those three would go to the Nuggets, and Moutier and Fareed would go to the Pelicans. So I think this would be beneficial in terms of Tyreek Evans has a one-year deal.
Okay.
And so I think the Denver can dump him. And Tim Frazier, I think there. I don't know if you've seen him lately. He's been posting not the greatest kind of stat lines because Holiday's back. And they got a bunch of other players that are in their mix, like Etwan Moore and whatnot. So there's not enough space in that lineup. And he was really good in the beginning of the year. What's unfortunate that is minutes got dwindled down. Dante Cunningham, I think, is a good cog in terms of a player that, you know, doesn't score but does the intangible stuff, because I think it's great. I think Denver needs to move on toward the Murray phase. And I think Moody, in terms of the Pelicans, I think it would just give him a lot more structure as a backup point guard. Learn from Holiday and stuff like that. And I think, and also Fareed would be a great compliment to Anthony Davis. There's also Terrence Jones, but he's also been inconsistent this year. So that's where I would ship those cast of characters.
I can see the benefit in regards to Kenneth Fareed being that dirty work player next to Anthony Davis that he may need.
The Rockets, Montrell.
Harrell.
Yeah, exactly.
Who came out of Louisville a couple years ago.
Exactly. I think Fareed would be that veteran version of him on the Pelicans. I think it would be beneficial for them.
I could definitely see how that could potentially work out. Now, I believe they played, back in the 2010 World Championships together over the summer, Anthony Davis and Fareed, so there is some familiarity there. I would like to see how that could potentially work out. And in regards
And Tyreek Evans has a one-year deal, so he's going to be done after this year.
Yeah, that's basically it's a short-term Denver can unload that Fareed contract.
Because I know they have a Swiss Army Knife and Wilson Chandler, so that won't be too disruptive in terms of, hey, this guy's going to steal my minutes. And he's also injury prone.
Agreed. Absolutely, man. So now, do you have Nerlens Noel going anywhere on your list?
On my list, I do have Nerlens Noel and Sergio Rodriguez to the Suns this is obvious, it was on the reports, but for Brandon Knight. Brandon Knight will go to the Sixers. Nerlens Noel, Serge Rodriguez would go to the Suns.
Okay, so this is Brandon Knight being the odd man out in Phoenix with Devin Booker and Eric Bledsoe. Yeah, we had talked about who would be the one that would end up going in regards to the fact that Brandon Knight was, you know, potentially getting pushed to the bench. And so I can absolutely understand the need to make this trade. Mm-hmm. I would be interested in seeing this trade, though, because you still have, you know, what are you going to do with Ty Warren? You have Tyson Chandler. You know, is Alex Len, are we completely scrapping that project altogether and just kind of balling that up and throwing it away? And so trying to figure out how that would ultimately work out. But I would be interested to see how that would figure. But I don't know if I see Nerlens as a fit out there in Phoenix, man. There's a lot in Phoenix that I don't quite understand. And maybe it's just because Earl Watson is a new coach trying to figure out his footing. But,
I think he'd be a good cog as a backup for Chandler. Alex Len, I know he was a top pick and whatnot, but he's had his moments, but it's been inconsistent. That's my point. So, if anything, it would light a fire under Alex Len. And if any, listen, it's a new atmosphere. I'm sure Nerlens Noel would have a much better, new start to his career and whatnot with the Suns. I think he should give it a shot. And they get Sergio Rodriguez. So, one guard to another plus a center. But I know there's there's probably too many centers on that team, talented centers, right?
I agree. And that's where I feel like that's not quite going to be the fit that we see. But, why don't we move on and head down our list, man?
What's your next one?
I got a three-team trade, man. I got this is going to involve the Pacers, the Chicago Bulls, and the Sacramento Kings. And two familiar names that we've talked about quite a bit in regards to trade circulation and rumors. I have the Bulls sending Rajon Rondo to the Indiana Pacers. Ooh. The Indiana Pacers sending Jeff Teague to Sacramento. Ooh. And Rudy Gay going from Sacramento to Chicago. Where I see this being a fit is the fact that Jeff Teague kind of stabilizes that point guard position. And I know Sacramento has, you know, apparently put themselves in talks for the eighth seed running right now for the Western Conference. But ultimately, he's a guy who can create his own shot, which will create more space for DeMarcus Cousins. Yep. Where I know DeMarcus Cousins didn't quite get along with Isaiah Thomas, who was another point guard who had the ability to create his own shot. But he needs the scoring help. Number one,
he needs that Isaiah Thomas that was averaging 20 and like five off the bench.
And then you have Rajon Rondo, who still has some of that Celtic blood in him, which I think makes him a product that could be attractive to Larry Bird. Plus, there's no long-term risk because his $14 million salary next year isn't fully guaranteed. So in the event that it doesn't work out, they can absolutely cut bait. But he is that traditional point guard with a defensive mentality that Nate McMillan may like that could be more or less a Hail Mary to try to keep his job. And then Rudy Gay going to Chicago kind of becomes that Swiss Army knife three or four who can play in a different multitude of lineups for Fred Hoiberg, but he can get out in transition and run with Jimmy Butler, or he can be a guy that can still space the floor, play a three in a bigs lineup where maybe you move D-Wade to the one, Jimmy Butler to the two, or you can have him play the four next to Jimmy Butler who can play the three. So that's where I was thinking in regards to that lineup flexibility in regards to this trade.
So one of the players you named was Rudy Gay, who actually said he's not coming back to the Kings.
Exactly.
I actually have him on my list, and I have him going to the Jazz.
I see that.
For Trey Lyles, the young prospect on the Jazz right now. Limited minutes, but he's very productive in his limited minutes. And Boris Diaw to the Kings. I think the Kings need some veteran leadership. They get a young prospect in Trey Lyles. The Jazz get another scorer on that team. You know, you could be more flexible. You got Hayward, you got Rudy Gay, Gobert. You could be flexible with this. I'm sure Snyder's done a great job in terms of coaching that team. I'm sure he could fit Rudy Gay in this. Or, as usual, every team that's had a hard time dealing with him in terms of mid-range jump shots and his ineffectiveness, they could just trade him again. But I don't think to point out one thing with the Rudy Gay to Chicago. I just think that's one too many mid-range jump shooters on the team. I know Wade's gotten better at the three, so has Jimmy. I think that team needs a spot-up three shooter, like a one-dimensional three-point shooter, and they haven't been able to get one. They got Doug McDermott. Mirotić has been inconsistent, but I don't think Rudy Gay's that guy. And right now they're currently at 14 and 15. They need a one-dimensional player, that's all.
Well, I think the only thing that I question is the fact that you're just pretty much taking a flyer on a one-year rental for Rudy Gay. And Trey Lyles is somebody that you drafted pretty high last year. I mean, middle of the first round. Yeah. You still want to see his development, just like you want to see Dante Exum's development. Mm-hmm. I think that, you know, they still need to figure out how they can develop these young players. I mean, Trey Burke ended up being a bust for them. He's no longer there, as you pointed out last episode. But, you know, and when it comes to this team, man, they still got to figure out what young pieces are going to fit and which ones aren't. And, I mean, they already have, you know, Joe Johnson, as you spoke of. And I just wonder if, you know, having too many veteran wing players starts to stunt the development of these younger guys that they've invested draft picks in.
But clearly they've had a breakout season so far. So I think in order to galvanize them in the playoffs, having an additional scorer in a winning environment, I think Rudy Gay, now I don't know if he's going to negate their progress, and they progressed a lot since last season. I think you got to get a flyer on this, and you got to see what he does. If anything, you got another scorer, another big body, 6'8". Think about him, Gobert, and Hayward. I think it's going to be mostly Hayward just drives in threes. I think Rudy Gay can probably just benefit from having a true center. I mean, DeMarcus Cousins is a center, but that whole team is just discombobulated. That's what I'm saying. So I think with a proper infrastructure, I think Rudy Gay might be a great piece for that team.
Yeah, but I think those situations are dicey, man. Because Rudy Gay is starting to move into Jeff Green territory, where teams bring him in, expecting one thing and they get another. And not only that, you have a veteran who has shown that he could be a malcontent. I mean, he was the guy that when George Karl was hired in Sacramento, pretty much told him, "Welcome to basketball hell." And so, when you have a young team right now, you don't want anybody who could end up being a negative force in that locker room, because those guys can become susceptible to it. And Utah, Minnesota, and the Lakers are all teams with young cores that you don't want to see be poisoned by veteran malcontents. So that's the only thing I would be cautious of in regards to that. But should we move on?
Yeah, we'll move on. I got one point before we move on, though.
Go for it, man.
Trey Lyles, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I still think the Jazz are using him because of Rodney Hood and Joe Ingles and whatnot. So I feel like they haven't used him to that capacity. Right. So I feel like they should just let loose and try to get another piece. That was my point of that. They did draft him high, but there have been players like Joe Ingles, as I said, and some really competent bench players that they have. And I think he's just in this cog where he's not able to play. Boris Diaw included, but I included him in that package of the Kings. So...
Well, let's go ahead and make a move, man, because, you know, we've so far been talking about, you know, veterans who might be slightly past their prime, young players who may not have quite developed. So I figure why don't we go ahead and start, making this a little interesting. You know, we just talked about the Indiana Pacers receiving Rajon Rondo. But actually, I have my first blockbuster, man.
Uh-oh.
I have the Pacers shipping out PG-13, Paul George, going to Boston, because we all know those Boston guys in the front offices take care of each other the same way Kevin McHale shipped off Kevin Garnett to Danny Ainge in Boston. Yep. I now have Larry Bird shipping Paul George to Boston to his old pal Danny Ainge in exchange for Jay Crowder, Marcus Smart, and Kelly Olynyk, as well as one of those Brooklyn picks that, you know, have long been famed in the stash of the Celtics that they've just been waiting to use on the right superstar. Now, this may even take two of those Brooklyn picks, but, that's the exchange that I have going for. And for this now, Boston has a new, I don't even want to call it a big three. I feel like that's very mainstream media to say that Isaiah Thomas, Paul George, and Al Horford are now a big three. They're more like a medium three, but good enough to be a number two seed out east now if they were to be able to pull this trade off, because it still allows for them to have three go-to guys, you know, who can still make their mark on this, you know, in that Eastern Conference that's still pretty weak.
I actually have no gripe on this at all. I agree with you. I think it's good. I think Larry Bird, I think, was very impulsive in firing Coach Vogel and expected some kind of progress. And based off of the results, they're a 500 team right now. Paul George kind of regressed in some ways. I think it's good. It's time for a new change. And I think, as you said, they got the Brooklyn picks, Marcus Smart, Jay Crowder, those like rusty hustling guys.
The guys that Nate McMillan loves. Because again, like I said with Rajon Rondo, he loves that defensive identity.
Exactly. So you'd keep Teague, and then you'd keep Monte along with Miles Turner. Then you got these gritty guys that just do the dirty work for you. That's a good, it's kind of like a really unique team. That makes sense. I agree with that.
And Indiana doesn't miss a beat in regards to their rebuilding efforts. Yeah. You know, you can still keep yourself fairly competitive, but ultimately now you have this nice young core of Miles Turner, Jay Crowder, Marcus Smart, Kelly Olynyk, you know, these potential Brooklyn picks. I don't know, man. I feel like that's something that suits both of these teams well, because clearly Boston's in win now mode.
I have another player to the Celtics, not PG-3. Do you want to hear where it is?
Go for it, man.
I have Nikola Vucevic to the Celtics.
I like Nikola Vucevic. Okay.
Yep. For Jay Crowder, for the aforementioned what you mentioned before, and Jonas Jerebko to the Magic. They need to get rid of a big. Clearly, there's a big tray of forwards and centers on that team, right? Talented forwards and centers. And I think the Celtics, if they're going to get Horford and play that nitty-gritty style that they want to play, I think Nikola Vucevic is a great center for them in terms of traditional center, got the point guard and whatnot, but maybe fill it in with Marcus Smart, but they got to get rid of Jay Crowder. They still have Avery Bradley, and I use the trade machine. It worked out. It checked out. They got to get one of those guys out. It has to be one of those big men by the deadline.
I absolutely love this trade for Boston because, again, it slides it to, you know, it slides Horford to a number, you know, to the four position in these lineups with Vucevic, which I think Al Horford's better suited. But also for your second lineup, you can put Vucevic in there and allow him to go off offensively. The only thing I look at on the Orlando is the fact that Crowder now becomes their starting small forward. What does this do now in regards to, you know, Aaron Gordon, Serge Ibaka? Do you move Ibaka to the five, Aaron Gordon to his natural four? You still have Bismack Biyombo coming off the bench, Jeff Green as well. You know, they still have a glut of big men, but I think this starts to bring about a little bit more clarity. So I could see how this ends up working for that team.
Yeah, they just signed Biyombo. I don't think they would trade him. And Serge, I think he's been a competent player this year. I think they expect him to be like a 2010 guy. He's never going to be that. But and most of all, I think this deal would benefit Aaron Gordon. And I think this will push it forward. And then Magic, in return, get Jay Crowder. It will toughen up that team. And they have a competent coach in Coach Vogel. So this might be a good place to go about it, right?
I mean, if only Orlando would have been able to better develop an Aaron Gordon and Elfrid Payton, you could be talking about them trying to make a push for Paul George and reuniting him with Frank Vogel. But unfortunately, their younger players haven't been able to hit those heights. But I like this trade on paper, though, man. Why don't you go ahead and give me your next one, dude?
All right, well, I got one more on this list, and that's about it. Because we pretty much coincided in terms of players, which is interesting. Because we...
Oh. I got one that I think might definitely bring about some reaction and some WTF faces, but I'll let you go first before I hit my next one.
I got Goran Dragic of the Heat. This is going to be a straight one-to-one deal for Wesley Matthews of the Dallas Mavericks. Goran Dragic, Mavs, Wesley Matthews, Heat.
Interesting. I mean, it's going to stabilize the Dallas Mavericks point guard position. He has a lot of years left on his deal, so he's going to be a guy who's going to be there for a while. What I don't get is why, you know, if you're Miami, you didn't re-sign D-Wade because he was older and had injury concerns, but you trade for Wesley Matthews, who has a lot more years on his deal and is getting older, can't shoot the three like he could in Portland. And
he's getting hot now hasn't shown with the Mavs. Stock's getting higher.
Yeah, I just look at it, man. You have Tyler Johnson. You have Richardson. You have so many other young wings that I guess you're trying to develop right now that would going and acquiring Wesley Matthews be the route to go. That's the only thing that I debate, and that would be my rebuttal. But
my thing with the Heat is Tyler Johnson at the point. Then you got Wesley Matthews. You got Hassan Whiteside. You got like two.
I forgot about
Justice Winslow. But you got some competent guys in there, and they're missing a three-point date. They got Josh Richardson, right? The guy, we mentioned him before. He got injured, came back, whatever it is. He was like a three-point specialist.
Right.
I think Wesley could be that guy. And Tyler Johnson is a really good player. Hassan Whiteside, I think he'd be a great fit. And plus, the Heat need to trade Dragic. I don't think he's going to sign back with them.
Well, I mean, he's still in the midst of, the five or six-year deal that he signed with them after he had been acquired from Phoenix. But, you know, in regards to Dragic, man, I think, unfortunately, he came to be a part of a team that had D-Wade and Chris Bosh, and they were coming off of their Big Three era. And that team now, 2 years removed from that, is completely different. They're completely lottery bound. They're rebuilding. I mean, there's nothing as far as veteran leadership besides the fact you have Udonis Haslem sitting on the bench. But, you know, this team is in full-fledged rebuild mode. They're trying to buy out Chris Bosh here probably as early as March 1st. So there's a lot going on, man. So, I mean, for them to, you know, then pick up a Wesley Matthews, I'm just not seeing how that works. But I'll go ahead and lay on that grenade. Trust me. No, I actually have two more. But my next one, man, and this is purely speculatory, and this is something that's been tossed out before. But let me just explain why I have the Clippers trading Blake Griffin once he's healthy and coming off of this surgery to the New York Knicks for Carmelo Anthony. Okay.
You're doing that. That's like a year late.
Well, no. Here's the reason why, though, right? Because I think Blake Griffin's trade value is going to continue to plummet. I mean, he's at the point where you can look at him as damaged goods. He's not a player who's going to be able to give you even 70 games out of the regular season, and you have to question his maturity. Yep. And then when you look at Carmelo Anthony in New York, it's clearly been a disaster. And even watching the game yesterday, it's clear cut that Kristaps Porzingis is the people's champ in New York. Yep. And Melo's about another mispossession or blown game away from becoming the heel. And so at this point in time, you have to figure, where would he go where he would be able to still have that level of comfort and be put as the one or two go-to scorer on a team? Mm-hmm. It's in Los Angeles, where you would have a coach in Doc Rivers who respects vets, and then his point guard in Chris Paul is arguably one of his best friends in the league. And so he's going to ensure that he is still buffered and insulated and protected from the criticism of the media, while also making sure that he gets the ball in good spots, be it in the high post or even off of the pick and pop, where he can still excel and be the scorer that he's capable of being. And then you have DeAndre Jordan, who played with him down in Rio, and that's somebody that can still be the rim protector to make up for his defensive inefficiency. So when I look at this and I see Carmelo and I say he's got to go to a big market, he has property out there, and plus Chris Paul is the one with all the leverage in regards to the front office, because he's coming up in a contract year as well where he can opt out, and Blake Griffin is completely killed any of his trade value, and for the second straight season he's going to miss significant time with a knee injury. You've really lost your ability to move him for, you know, equal parts. And so this is where I see this becoming a straight one-on-one trade that you can make that allows guys to have a change of scenery but still maintain their ability to have a presence in a large market. So what do you think?
I mean, why'd you gotta go after Melo? I think Melo is, he's not hindering Porzingis' progress. Rose has been a good piece on that team, on the Knicks team. I think Melo's done a great job. I mean, outside of the last possession that we saw from the Christmas Day game, Melo's been good. I mean, he's been passing a little bit more. He's doing some good things. I think the Knicks would not trade for another forward. They already got stung with Stoudemire a few years back, and they wouldn't risk it. I mean,
but think about the risk, though, because Blake has the ability to opt out this year. So you're talking about, at most, it's a half-season rental, but if nothing else, you're getting out from under Carmelo's long-term contract.
Yeah, but right now the Knicks are like 16 and 15, right?
Hey, listen, I'm not pushing for it one way or another. It was just an idea to float.
I could see it. If you're saying, would I be open to the idea of it in terms of what they both bring to the other end? I could see it, but I wouldn't push it. I'm also a biased Knicks fan, so.
Well, here's my deal. I think this is more something that would be pushed from the Clippers' end than it would be from New York's end, if you understand what I'm saying, in regards to the fact that they got to figure out what they're going to do with Blake. And do you feel comfortable investing 6 years and, you know, hundreds of millions of dollars into Blake Griffin now that he's only getting more and more injury prone? I mean, he came into the league with a busted up knee. But
Doc wouldn't trade him, though, right? We've talked about this at nauseam. Doc loves his players.
He loves his players, but I think he also loves having a career. And I mean, listen, he may be head coach and GM, but he still has an owner that wants to win now. And if they start to see regression, who do you think's the first one to go?
Exactly.
Coaches are always the human shield for players.
Yeah.
And Doc will be out of there first before Blake Griffin and Chris Paul if he decides that he wants to hold on to his own players.
Yeah, I mean, if there was one scapegoat on the team, it'd be Blake. And you'd probably do that straight. They had rumors about that last season, so during the deadline, Blake for Melo and stuff, but that didn't really, it never came to fruition.
It never really came to fruition. I don't think it was an actual real possibility. But when you look at this Phil Jackson, you know, divot that he's created between he and Carmelo, and James Dolan's in the middle, and Phil Jackson's talking about he's not leaving this offseason, are you going to go through another year where your star player and cornerstone and your GM or president of basketball operations, I should say, don't get along and it just becomes something that just is ugly that plays out in the media?
Yeah.
I don't think you want that if you're Dolan or Chris Mills or even Jeff Hornacek. So I think eventually something's got to give in regards to that stalemate. But that was my second to last trade. I'll go ahead and throw out my last one. And this is, you know, for all my fellow Laker fans. Going to Sacramento, putting in that call to Vlade Divac and offering up D'Angelo Russell, Larry Nance Jr., Timofey Mozgov, future first round pick, for Boogie Cousins. Now, for Sacramento, you get D'Angelo Russell, you get Larry Nance Jr., your 1-2 punch that's exciting for the fans with the cowbells. Timofey Mozgov, because, well, you got to get a big man, and Sacramento needs about, you know, two 15, more so they can give themselves, I think, 8 on the roster. But, you know, you get a future first-round pick. It allows for them in Sacramento to have, like I said, this new young core that they're trying to build with D'Angelo Russell and Larry Nance Jr. as the building blocks. And the Lakers get their center, who's still in the midst of his prime and who needs a change of scenery in the worst way. I don't think there's any player in the league that needs a change of scenery more than Boogie Cousins. But what say you?
I mean, I could see you're giving a prospect back with D'Angelo. You probably got to throw in a pick with that.
Yeah, I said a future first-round pick.
Future first-round.
Unprotected.
I think the Kings have no choice. I mean, unless they're delusional in terms of if DeMarcus is going to stay there. I don't think he's going to stay there. He's going to leave. So if there is a deal out there, you got a cornerstone point guard in D'Angelo Russell. And Russell's probably in a cog. You know, he's only playing like 27 minutes a game in the Walton system that he's created. But he can really flourish with the Kings. But in terms of getting something back, this would be as good as it gets. I mean, there's also the DeMarcus to the Celtics, but this is a solid trade, I have to admit.
Here's what I worry about in regards to DeMarcus going to the Celtics.
Yep.
I think that the Kings are going to say we want Isaiah Thomas back in regards to, you know, shipping him to Boston. I mean, it's already been shown that Isaiah Thomas and DeMarcus don't get along and they can't play together.
Yeah.
That's already been something that Isaiah Thomas confirmed earlier in an interview before the season started. Yeah. And so, well, clearly if these guys can't play together, you're not going to, you know, mortgage your future by trying to bring in two guys and having them clash when you already have good chemistry. So then if you ship out Isaiah Thomas, who's going to be your, you know, your point guard? I guess you could say Avery Bradley, but, you know, you got to figure out, well, then, is it something where you're going to trade, you know, Isaiah Thomas, a Jay Crowder, some of those Brooklyn picks, and then that leaves you a Marcus Smart, Avery Bradley backcourt that has its own offensive deficiencies, but you're now post-heavy with Boogie Cousins and Al Horford. So there just doesn't seem to be that balance that they need offensively for floor spacing. So that's the only reason why I don't see that Boston prospect working out,
or the prospective Boston trade. It doesn't seem like it's too lopsided. It seems like dead even.
It's not giving up a whole lot of their assets. They still keep Brandon Ingram. They keep Julius Randle. But I would even be willing to throw in, say, a Lou Williams to make that trade work if necessary. You know, somebody else who's been able to boost his trade market, as well as Swaggy P, who's been able to do the same. But I don't think they would need both. They would probably grab Lou Williams, who's been more of the proven scorer and more consistent scorer, as well as a guy who's proven he can come off the bench and be effective just as much as he could play starter minutes.
Yeah, that's a solid trade, I gotta say. That's your best one.
Hey, man, thank you.
That's your best one, man.
I guarantee you it won't happen, but I figured I would just go ahead and lob that out there, man. But yeah. I think all in all, man, you know, like I said, when it comes to trades, man, it's always wishful thinking, but you just hope one day that it may actually take for your team. But hey, this was fun, dude.
This is going to be live on the podcast and whatnot. We can evaluate ourselves how we did.
Absolutely, man. I'm sure we'll have holes poked in it on Twitter. Yeah. You can go ahead and give me that feedback, and I'm sure I'll get that call from Chris Axman like, dude, what are you thinking? So yeah. we'll see what's up, man. But, you know, this was fun to do, brother. But again, man, I hope everybody had a happy holiday season, man. I feel like it's over now, but not quite. We still got New Year's, a.k.a. my 31st birthday. So, yeah.
happy birthday in advance.
Hey, appreciate it, my guy. Appreciate it, my guy. So, you know, we'll have to figure something out, man. But you got any shout-outs?
Any shout-outs? I got a shout-out to my wife, man. She was working on Christmas. She held the fort down for the Matthew residence. And I was just being the lazy old dude that I've been. So she's holding down the fort, holding us in a raft. And I'm barely rowing it away. So I got to give her a shout-out, man. How about you?
Hey, man, I'm going to give a shout out to the toy companies that were smart enough to make the bodies of motorized vehicles, because we put together a 12V Jeep for my son. That's like this little life-size Jeep that he can drive in that comes with a remote control and all the bells and whistles.
I saw it, you know, on social media.
Did you see that? Yeah.
Because me and you are friends on social media.
That's it, and not in real life. And so, you know, thank you for making that process a whole lot easier than I'm sure it was for our parents, who probably had to build the damn thing from scratch. Because I also had to help my neighbor put together a carriage for his daughter. And oh, it was the same thing. The body was already intact. You just got to put on the wheels and, you know, all the little accessory things. But, man, I'm sure that saves us about 5 hours. So thank you, toy companies, for being much more parent friendly, because I am not an engineer. I do not know how to build this crap from scratch. So thank you for making the process easier. But that's all I got, man. Shout out to the whole ABPN.
Team, the A team, as we call it. We haven't done one in a while. It's been 2 weeks, but hopefully we'll get this posted soon.
Yeah, man, we'll get this up and running. And like I said, you're going to see some changes on the show, but not with the host, man. Me and Jim are locked in. It's all good to go. Again, we give a shout out to Chris Axman and everybody else on the rest of the network. Thank you again for your support and your listening. And don't forget to like the fan page. Hit my man Jimbo up on Twitter, NYJones7. Hit me up on Twitter, Flagrant Take. And check out the website, www.flagranttake.com. We have more content coming for you soon. But guys, take care. Have a happy new year.
Later, friend.
Peace.